when people want to express the need for liberty, I think that art can be a most sublime tool. I'm Rebecca Alban Hofberger. I'm the director and founder here at the American Visionary Art Museum in Baltimore's Inner Harbor. Life, Liberty, and Pursuit of Happiness was intended, when I picked the theme, to be a communal exploration of those words that get used a lot and flag-waved a lot, but perhaps not thought about quite adequately in terms of what do individuals really think about that. Visionary art comes from individuals who have not been trained, not poured through the filter of anybody else's thoughts. Our favorite visionary artists may not even think of themselves as artists. They just may be driven to build the Garden of Eden in their backyard for the next 40 years. And they're not looking to get shows in New York or that kind of thing. It's a very deep personal kind of expression. And as Dubuffet said, it's best when it forgets its very name. Find it more inspirational and driven. Sometimes it's when the life experience is too big for words, either an experience of ecstasy or an experience that's so devastating that you can't even put it, express it otherwise, other than to take some action. And that's when it's strongest. In the show, one of my favorite artists is Dr. Ala Bashir, who was the most gifted physician in Iraq at reattaching limbs and at burn victims and being in a war situation. He had a lot of practice. He was also an artist, very refined, beautiful man. And he had the terrible thing happen because he was the best doctor, where Saddam Hussein, as the head of the country, said, "Hey, forget everybody else. I want you to be my personal doctor." And he said it was like living on the edge of a sword. I mean, whenever you have to work for someone who has a disproportionate amount of authority, it's not a great thing. You can see the caged figure with the bird. The bird is often, winged things are often used as a symbol for the human soul. And you see the loss of limbs, the inability to in a great transcendent of any individual language, you know, art can speak to what it is to feel that you have no arms and legs, and you have this soul that's imprisoned in your chest, and all that you normally would have to express yourself has been truncated. And he said something very beautiful. People said, "Oh, so you're a surrealist painter, huh?" You know, and he said, "No, I'm not." Surrealist painters were painting their imagination. He says, "I'm not painting my imagination. I'm painting the real suffering of the men and the women and the children who were on the ground in this very long war." What this museum is about is what it is to the full spectrum of what it is to be a human being. And sometimes the labeling of mental patient or disabled, or the very real physical limitation, whether it's a thought disorder which keeps you from focusing, be it, you know, bipolar or schizophrenia. There's often another quality to be mined that is of great interest to others. I always love it when Oscar Levant said, "There's a thin line between genius and insanity, and I've managed to erase it." You know, you want people who dance at the border and at the edge, because then they are evolutionaries. They are not trotting in the same safe, but they have gone to the edge to report. There's an artist named Dick Lubinsky, who indeed had a history of schizophrenia, and who had like the Collier Brothers syndrome, you know, where you never throw anything away and all the trash mounts up to your ceiling and you use a broom handle to turn on your light switch kind of thing. And when he was ill and dying, his niece visited him, and he says, when you wade through the garbage after I'm dead, there's some good cameras in there, and you know, you can sell them, and I think they'll bring you some money. He never brought up that he made always on social justice, I think, the most exquisite images in the whole show. And so that's a privilege to say, is this a diseased mind? And yet his depiction of the Scottsboro boys who were wrongfully accused of rape is so tenderly and masterfully wrought that it's an awesome piece of art. I'm not a person who says, gee, art is always good, because actually, like sex, like money, like political power, art is just one of the great powers that can be misused. You know, sex can be one of the most healing and ennobling and loving of acts, and it can be the most devastating, hurtful, demeaning, violent, cruel act. It's not within itself either good or bad, and I believe that that's true with art. Transcending even this notion of good or bad, it is a power. And so when people want to express the need for liberty, I think that art can be a most sublime tool, because it speaks in a language that can be visually read by all different languages, etc. I wanted a place that would be like a grassroots salon that would tackle all the great themes that have ever bedeviled or inspired humankind, and that the art that would be wrestling with those issues would likewise come from people who think their own thoughts. It's very rare for anybody to think a fresh thought. You know, go to a cocktail party and someone, you know, hates Hillary Clinton or they really like her, but you don't really hear something that makes you go, oh my God, I never thought about that. And this is a museum dedicated to fresh thought in all of its permutations.